I think the NHL stumbled ass backwards into a glorious situation. Woo! Welcome to Frosty Talks. I'm your host, Dylan Ryan. This is going to be a loaded episode as we are a whole week into the NHL season. It's been nothing but fun so far. Everything has been amazing. We've had a few hiccups, which it's going to happen. It was bound to happen. We were going to have games postponed due to COVID. Every single league had it happen. Whether or not they're going now, or if they finished, they had to have games canceled due to COVID. And the NHL is absolutely no different. We have our first postponement outside of the Dallas Stars, and it is the Carolina Hurricanes. Their games are going to have to move around. And, you know, like I said, it was going to happen. Like, if the only way that the NHL was going to pull off another mini season, like the bubble, the playoff bubble, was to do a bubble. And there was absolutely no way that Gary Bettman and the NHL were convincing the players to do another bubble, especially for a 56-game season plus the playoffs. It wasn't going to happen. It was impossible. So, yeah, this is something that NHL fans are going to have to get used to. It's unfortunate, but shit, it's going on in the NBA. It happened in the NFL. I imagine it happened in the MLS. It happened a million times in the MLB. So, yeah, this is something that that we're going to have to get used to. It's not ideal. But, hey, who cares? We have hockey on right now. In fact, we're recording currently during the Toronto Maple Leafs-Edmonton Oilers game. There's nothing to complain about as long as there's a game on. And speaking, while we're there, speaking of this Toronto Oilers game, first off, it's the second period. It's 1-0 Edmonton. And the Canadian division could not be better. It needs to be a permanent fixture of the NHL. They're going to have some kind of tweaks once Seattle rolls in. But it's electric. There's nothing better at this point. This is must-watch hockey every single night from the Canadian teams. So I'm all for it. I think it's amazing. The other thing, I think the NHL stumbled ass backwards into a glorious situation. Their baseball style scheduling that they've been doing, where you play the same team twice in a row, sometimes even more, is lit. It could not be more fun. The animosity that it brings, for one, there's so much tension between every single team. You can see it with teams like the Avalanche and the Kings, who have zero rivalry, but there is an unreal amount of just hatred between them, because they're going to end up, like, it hasn't happened yet, but you can see it brewing, and we're only one game into it. Now, imagine what happens when, like, the Avalanche play the Blues for, like, the sixth time, or the Wild for the eighth time. They do not like each other already. Their conference or their divisional opponents normally. So those are going to be raucous affairs. Like, holy shit. If you're not getting in deep into just watching any game you can, you're missing out at this point. It's unbelievable. Now, if you're just into your team, that's cool too, man. Like, more power to you, cheers to it, but missing out on some of these other, like, phenomenal games. Whatever it is, they've all been good. Shit, Panthers and Red Wings was even an entertaining game. Like, that shouldn't be fun. Shouldn't be. Those are two boring-ass teams. But goddamn, it was so much fun. And I can only see these matchups getting better and better throughout the year as the teams start to know each other better and better, and probably start to hate each other more and more. Like, no matter what, these games are going to just be electric throughout. I mean, we haven't even had half of the battle. Like, we're not even halfway through the season. We're a week in. And come on, there's already so much tension between all the Canadian teams. You can feel it in the air. There's electricity. They're all pissed off at each other. They're all either going to beat the shit out of each other or they're going to fuck and start dating. There's no in between. And honestly, I'm picking that they're all going to start fighting each other because it's not like they're going to drop pants on the fucking ice. But my God, these guys hate each other. It's so much fun. It's much to watch hockey. And speaking on the Avs, they have righted the ship. So since the last episode, they have played 3 games. They got the asses handed to them a little bit in their first game. Oh, against the Blues, they lost 4-1. It was disappointing. They looked flat-footed. They looked like they had not skated in a day of training camp, which they hadn't. So you know, it fit. Next game. Holy shit, it was a whole different team. Avs mollywopped the Blues 8-0. Sent them fucking running with the tails behind their with the tails between their legs. I could not have been happier. It was a goalapalooza. Oprah Winfrey was in the crowd somehow, handing out goals to every single Avs player she could fucking see. It was a beauty of a game. Then, yesterday, Tuesday now, whatever. Whatever. Time is a odd concept. But Tuesday, they played the Kings. You'd think, all right, they're able to beat the Blues 8-0. Holy shit, they should be able to drop 10 on the Kings. Nah, you know, they went 3-2. And winning a game 8-0 is a lot of fun. Just pummeling and bullying an opponent is cool. But winning those drag out through the muds, those are a lot of fun on those games. Because honestly, you're just watching good old-fashioned hockey. Like, it was a good game. The Kings, genuinely, they had no business being in this one. They didn't. They got a lot of help from the refs. There was a bunch of calls that didn't get made. Doesn't matter. Boys still come out of there with a W. Avs are 2-1-0 on the season. Looking to play the Kings again on Thursday the 21st, so looking to hopefully overtake that top seed in the division. We'll see. I mean, I gotta admit, those Knights are looking like a fucking wagon. But, I mean, there's a reason the Avalanche are the Cup. It's because they can put up 8 goals and shut out a fellow Stanley Cup contender in the Blues. That's the reason they have that it factor, and we'll see. But it's going to be a battle between, I don't know about how well the Blues are going to fare in that, but it's going to be a battle at the top between the Knights and the Avalanche, and it's going to be must-watch hockey all year. All year. Now, more news on that Avalanche. It's kind of a bummer, but Ian Cole got traded to the Wild. Got traded to the fucking Wild. He wasn't here for a long time, but damn, was he here for a good time. He's going to be missed. The Bearded Beauty's going to do amazing, I imagine, up in Minnesota. But this was bound to happen one way or another. Maybe not this trade where they do a one-for-one D-man swap. But one way or another, Ian Cole's time with the Avalanche was coming to an end. With the pipeline that they have, an aging 30-year-old defenseman that's making $4 million a year to play on as a 6th-7 man, that's not going to fly when you got, you know, Justin Barron and Bowen Byram ready to play. I mean, Justin Barron isn't right now, but Bo is. In fact, he's on the team now. That's the man. That's who's going to be replacing the bearded beauty that is Ian Cole. Bo Byram. Another 4th overall pick from the Avalanche D-man who is an absolute fucking stud. Because the Avalanche is really good at picking defensive prospects at 4th overall in the draft. It's just amazing. Like, look how the last one did. That was Cale Makar. So If this one's any like anything like that, holy shit. The Avs have Bohm Byram and Cale Makar tearing up the blue line every single night. They're going to be unstoppable for years. And, I mean, all his Bo's World Juniors were phenomenal. He was probably one of the most dominant players out there offensively and defensively, which is nuts. Because everyone was saying he was more of a two-way defender, but apparently he can just do it all. So yeah, unfortunately, that Ian Cole trade had to happen so that we could, the Avalanche could just bring in another top-rated defensive prospect who's still on his entry-level contract. I mean, yeah, not a bad replacement. It's going to be pretty sweet. Hopefully he plays soon. I want to see it. I just want to see the Avs with the youngest yet most talented defensive core in the NHL. It would be just so cool. And honestly, I'm just here for more electric hockey. Guys that can sauce the puck around the entire rink at any given time. Just rip it from the blue line into the net. Like, what more could you want? And having him and Bohm Byram and Cale Makar on the Avalanche, that's just going to be nasty if they develop. Cale already did develop. But if Bohm also develops, if he has anything like of a rookie year like Cale did, I mean, it's going to be a chore to beat the Avalanche after that. A little biased, but I don't care. They're a favorite for a reason. It's fun to be the favorite. It's fun to have your favorite team be the favorite. I don't get that with the Donkeys. They've been shit. But in the NHL, man, Avs are, they're looking like the Kings. The undefeated, well, not the Kings. They're looking like the Kings of the NHL. The royalty, the top class, the top dogs, top contenders. We'll see. We'll see how it all goes. We're only a week in. 2-1-0. I think it's going to be an electric season. We're going to go through it together in this journey. It's a beautiful jersey journey. Now, for a division update. Who's winning where? The Knights are leading the West. They're undefeated. They're one of the teams that still haven't lost a game. Stars are on that list. I don't know if that really counts considering they still haven't played. And the Panthers somehow on the list, and the Lightning, which, you know, makes sense. We're there. Toronto, they're leading the North. My pick. I'm going to have to go back and look on which ones I picked in the beginning of the season. I think I picked Toronto, but I'm pretty sure I said I really need them to prove it to me, and I'm going to say that again here. Oh, God, the Vancouver. I know I was really high on Vancouver. Vancouver's Vancouver. God damn. Sucks. They keep making stupid mistakes. I still don't understand the art of goaltending. I've seen their goaltenders play with their asses towards the rink and their face in the net. And I'm like, well, that probably isn't going to work, but we'll find out. Canucks aren't doing great. That pick was not ideal, but we'll see. There's plenty of hockey left. I can still be right on that. Capitals, they lead the East. Which, they just got fined $100,000 for not following the COVID protocols. And I believe Alex Ovechkin is now on the COVID list. And their games aren't getting delayed at all. So they're probably going to drop a couple here until Ovi can get back and a few of their other key players can get back. So this is a great time for the Flyers to make up for one of the losses that they had against Buffalo. Not good. You can't drop games. Like, people are going to lose to Buffalo and Detroit, obviously, but, like, if you want to be a top, like, Stanley Cup contender, you really shouldn't be dropping games to Buffalo, especially in that manner. They got a little, it was a little embarrassing on that one. Then for the Central, you got the Lightning. They're leading. No duh. The only other, like, the best team in the division besides the Lightning, the Dallas Stars, haven't even played a game yet. So, no shit, the Lightning are more than likely going to be the leaders until the Stars start making up a few more games. Who's looking like absolute trash right now, though, in the league? I mean, the Blackhawks are in a full-blown rebuild. That's not good. They might now have moved into the worst team. Like, the way they're looking, like, there's going to be... It's going to be some growing pains. And one, the Blackhawks fans, guys, y'all are so fucking spoiled. Y'all sold your soul for 10 years and three cups in 10 years. And now that you have to rebuild after that, after three cups in 10 years, you're like, oh my God, fire everybody. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen. How do you do this? Like, I don't know, that's the tail end of winning three cups in 10 years. Be happy with it. Like, shit. There are teams out there with none. Be grateful that you had some decent years out there. We saw the Panthers that exist. Like, my God. Toronto hasn't won a freaking cup in ages. They haven't even won a playoff series in it, even longer. Like, come on, guys. There's going to be some growing pains after you win that many cups in that short of a time span. But, yeah, they're not looking good. Malcolm Subban, not too shabby, though. Like, he's not good right now. He's going to have to really step up his game, but it's not like their defense is helping him out. But he's had some spectacular saves. I think if the defense gave him some help, I think that he could steal a couple of games here and there for the Blackhawks. Panthers, I know I mentioned that they're undefeated as of now. But man, they still look like shit. And so the main reason though that they look like shit is because they almost benched Keith Yandle, who is the current Iron Man streak holder for the NHL. There's gonna be a healthy scratch. It's bullshit. You don't healthy scratch a man as an Iron Man when you're the Panthers. And you know for a fact he's an offensive defenseman. He scores. And guess what? You slight the Sonk Daddy. And he's going to make you pay. And he goes out there, makes the Panthers look like fucking jokes for even thinking about healthy scratching him, and scores a goal and helps him win a game. It's like, Sonk. Like, no fucking shit. You can't bench. You can't healthy scratch the Iron Man. That's why the Panthers are looking like trash. They end up making a fool of themselves. And now Keith Yandle's back in the lineup. So everything's all good. Everything's all good in the hood. As long as the Sonk Daddy's still in the lineup. Because you gotta keep that Iron Man streak going. What happens if he somehow actually breaks the record of whatever it is? It's probably nuts. There's someone out there that had played like, probably something like 1,600 games in a row in the NHL without even missing a day. Oh, could you imagine? Absolute wrecked on the body. Just no fucking way. The only reason that the Panthers even ended up putting Keith Yandle back in was because they got bullied into it on the internet. Like, everyone was like, what the hell? You can't do that. Like, absolutely not. What are you doing here? Sometimes it works. Just saying. Not every time. But when it's to make sure that one of your favorite players keeps a Iron Man streak alive, I guess that time it works. Columbus also, they have not been awful. But they're in a bind. Like, they already have had multiple players, like, try to get out of Columbus in years. Like, the bread man wanted out. Now they got a whole new young buck trying to get out of Columbus. And it's Pierre-Luc Dubois. 22 years old, centerman, absolute stud. And he just doesn't want to be in Columbus. I'm going to play some audio from 97 The One, The Fan in Columbus with John Torts. He's talking about it, so here's that for you guys.
Now, you're about to start a season with a real talented kid in Pierre-Luc Dubois, who does have a contract. You're coaching a guy, but you know it's hanging out there that your GM and the front office could be mulling over trades. How has he been in camp? How do you coach him exactly the same way, knowing that he may be here one day and gone tomorrow? How do you approach this with him?
Yeah, he wants out, and he spoke to the team, as we do here. He spoke to the team. It's a little bit different than Brett and Bob, where this is a 22-year-old kid. It doesn't happen that often, and he has been honest with the group, as honest as I wish he was a little bit more honest as far as reasons why. Still haven't really gotten to that, but I think he needs to speak on that. I won't. To coach him, you know, I can give you a great answer, but it's very difficult for me when a guy doesn't want to be here at such a young age, and the amount of time we've poured into him to try to develop him and is just looking to go, it's hard for me. I'm not sure where it goes with me as the season gets going here. I'll be quite honest with you, because I want to spend my time in developing the people that want to be here, but I still have to coach the hockey team to be the best it can be. Luke has had a good camp, it's a short leash with me as far as this is concerned. He needs to continue to do the things to help this team win and be his best teammate as he can be, or I'm not sure where it goes. It's a situation. It is. It's a situation, and we'll see. We'll go to it day by day.
All right, so that was John Tortorella, the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, talking about the trade, like, or whether or not Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be get traded. And you know what? I totally understand. I understand both sides of this. Torts doesn't want to, like, he will needs Pierre-Luc Dubois to be a little bit more transparent. I don't know what the reasoning is. I mean, I can make, like, I'll make an ed. I'm going to be honest. It's probably Torts. Guy's kind of a dick. Love him. I think he's hilarious for all of his pressers and shit like that. He's a character. But I don't know about being a player for him. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the fact that Pierre-Luc Dubois just really doesn't want to live in Columbus, fucking Ohio. There's a chance that that's it. It could be. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things. And as of now, like, we don't know. We don't know if there's going to be trades. There's just always rumors flying around on that. I don't know where I'd see that happening. I mean, a team that makes a ton of sense to pick him up would be the New York Rangers. They have an unbelievable amount of left-wing depth and absolutely no one through the center to play. And, I mean, it would be nuts if, Torts said it, Bread, that's Panarin, Breadman, be nuts if Bread left Columbus and ended up in New York and Pierre-Luc Dubois did the exact same thing. Like, at that point, I'd almost be like, it's probably 50-50 on Torts and the city of Columbus itself just being not great. I mean, I imagine the food. From what I've heard, the food is awesome. I've never visited, but whatever. I don't care. Like, I can't imagine a hockey player making millions of dollars would rather live in Columbus, Ohio, on a mediocre team, versus New York City on a mediocre team. Like, come on, just put. Like, that makes sense to me. That makes perfect sense. Now we'll never like we'll. We'll end up finding out. Who knows? We'll see if this ends up getting traded. My guess is he ends up going to someone like New York. Could end up honest, depending. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to get any trades done this year, especially considering, like, with the Avalanche, when they traded Ian Cole, he had to quarantine. He's going to have to quarantine for a whole week before he can actually join the team. So if a player trades for Pierre-Luc Dubois, they don't actually get to use him for a whole week. So I kind of see all trades being a little bit harder to get done this year. Now, I'm not positive that this one's real, because sometimes I do not trust the Avalanche announcers. But can't remember which one said it. One of them said, it's like, hey, it's like actually Ian Cole and Greg Patterin, I think I'm saying that right. Actually, they don't have to quarantine because the Wild were also in California and, in fact, were staying in the exact same hotel as the Avalanche while they were playing the Ducks. So apparently they were able to just swap hotel rooms and equipment or something and just go about their day. I don't really know. We'll see. Like, if Ian Cole is in the lineup with the Wild, like, immediately, and Greg Patterin is playing against the Kings in the very next game, then we'll have our answer. Well, actually, there's a very good chance that Bo Byron plays over Greg Patterin anyways, so maybe we won't have an answer on the Avalanche side. We'll have to figure that out on Ian Cole. But I just don't see... My point on all of this is I just don't see trades going down unless there's some, like, happenstance bullshit like that, where the teams are literally in the same hotel and the GMs can call each other up. It's like, hey, y'all, go tell your players to switch rooms. We're going to do this trade right now while we can. Like, not a bad idea. Like, literally just, like, have trades in place and be like, all right, we know for a fact we're going to be staying in the same hotel room on this weekend. That's when the deal goes down. So, keep an eye on that. Who knows? That's how I'd do it. It's not a bad idea. Other NHL news. We've just been rolling through it. There's just so much. Wait, shit. Did someone score? Nope. Second period's almost over. But no score. Or still 1-0. The Oilers. So, other things. I think I already made a joke on this one. Boston. Oh, no, this is wins. Boston still hasn't scored an even strength goal this year. There's only one team that has also done that, and it's the Dallas Stars. Which is a really... I mean, that's bad. I mean, we've established they're not playing right now. So, bold take, man. I think the Bruins might miss the playoffs unless they, like, actually start finding a place to get scoring depth. They can't just rely on their perfection line. It's impossible. And they're also going to have to get some 5-on-5 goals from their perfection line. Like, forget talking about, you know, the fact that they haven't scored a goal at even strength. Like, or scoring depth. They haven't scored a goal at all on even strength, even with their top guys. They ain't going to win shit like that. Tuca's going to steal them games, but, man, they're looking, I'd be very scared. I'd be a little, I'd get sweaty if I were a Boston Bruins fan. I would be very, very sweaty about them missing the playoffs. I mean, they're just... That division is just so competitive. Like, just so fucking competitive. So, I that's my bold take on this one, man. I don't see it. I cannot see the Boston Bruins being in the playoffs. I'm going to stand by that one all year. I will stand by it. Unless it becomes increasingly obvious that I was an idiot and I'm wrong. But, like, that's a 50-50 chance there. And last little story from the NHL for right now. Dylan Larkin. Absolutely hilarious story. Dylan Larkin and Zach Werenski, pretty good family, good friends, family friends. So they're on opposite teams. So Dylan Larkin left tickets for Werenski's family to come to a game where the two of them were playing against each other. And about, like, 3 minutes left in the third period, two of them get just all pissy at each other on the ice and drop the gloves. This, hey man, like, that's fight promotion. Orkin's like, hey, I'm gonna give your parents a pair of tickets so they can watch me beat the shit out of their son. Like, man, Dana White, learn a lesson or two from them in fight promotion. I bet they'd be awesome. Maybe we put Larkin and Werenski involved with the Vander Kane and Logan Paul fight. I totally forgot. I never even touched on the fact that Evander Kane filed for bankruptcy in the last episode. No wonder he wanted to fight Logan Paul so bad over the offseason. Dude was broker than shit. Oh my god, what? Filed for like $29 million? He almost, for half a second there, people were speculating on whether or not he was going to sit out the season so that he could actually follow through with the full bankruptcy or whatever. I don't know how that works. I'm not a tax accountant or anything like that. But he ended up playing. But it makes so much sense now why he wanted to fight Logan Paul. He's like, man, I'm going to get a fucking purse out of this one. I still want that to happen. So goddamn bad. Like, so bad. One, and I guess it helped Evander Kane recoup some of his gambling losses, allegedly. I don't know. Alleged gambling losses. Might be really good at it. But like me. Like, I'm pretty good at it. I found out when, went 4 of 8. Not bad. That's, you won money if you went with the Dylan Ryan Gambling Corner for the NFL playoffs. But man, I need to see this Logan Paul fight. So, I gotta see the Logan Paul-Evander Kane fight eventually. We'll get there. Alright, now actually moving out of the NHL, going into the NFL. It's one of the best weekends. Another great weekend of football. Every weekend of football is a great weekend of football. It's conference championship weekend, boys. Let's recap the divisional beforehand. Man, we're moving on into that. We'll have the gambling corner for the conference championship. We're gonna try to get some more dough on this one. On those. So, on the divisional round side, Browns' run of destiny has come to an end as the Chiefs and Andy Reid laid their ginormous nutsacks on their face after throwing for it on 4th and 1 with Chad Henne in the game. Oh my god, the balls on that man. He was walking around like Stan Marsh in South Park. Just just bouncing everywhere. And so if you're thinking to yourself, fuck, I missed that game. Why the hell is Chad Henne in? Shouldn't Mahomes have been doing that? Mahomes is in, he's in COVID, or not COVID protocol, sorry, concussion. The C's fuck you up. Fuck me up. Two very different kinds of C's. He's in concussion protocol. Was in concussion protocol on Wednesday. He's making good strides. I'm skeptical on whether or not he'll play. But we'll see. Doesn't matter. Chiefs are now in the conference championship against the Buffalo Bills. Because the Bills were able to beat the Ravens. Josh Allen. I don't think people were not appreciative of how good Josh Allen was in that game. Because of the fact, though, it was a hurricane. He was throwing darts in a hurricane like 30 yards down the field. Like, how hard do you have to throw the ball? And how accurately and how much perfect touch you have to be able to do that. That's nuts. Josh Allen, he's not as good. He's not Mahomes. But at this point, I think the Bills can beat the Chiefs. In fact, I'm probably taking the Bills. Maybe that's out of spite. But I'm taking the Bills. Taking the Bills in that one. But in the game Lamar looked good. Dude, he is not really... It's hard to... He's not a good quarterback. He's not. He's just not a great quarterback. He's one of the best playmakers in the NFL. Like, what he does with his legs and his feet to absolutely fuck a defense is unreal. I cannot understate that enough. He is good at what he does. I'm just not positive what he does is a true quarterback at all. And I think that's because if he goes down by like 14 points and he's in a clear passing situation, I can't trust him at all. I have no room to talk as Donkeys fan because it's not like I have any trust in Drew Lock at this point, even though I was high on him all last offseason. Not so much now. But at this point, man, Drew, Lamar's not. He got the monkey off the back with winning a playoff game. He looked great last week, or the week before. I don't trust him throwing. I don't trust him throwing the ball. Still, by far, one of the best playmakers in the NFL. Though, it's gonna be fun watching him. And hey, maybe honestly, there's a good chance that half the reason that Lamar can't throw the ball down the field is not his own fault. It's the fact that they got like one half decent receiver in Hollywood Brown, like that's in Dez Bryant, and Dez didn't play for 3 years. Like, dude, those are not even like a second tier receiving core at best. So maybe if you give Lamar a lot more help, he could be good. Or, like, you could trust him throwing the ball in obvious passing situations. But right now, man, I want him stepping back in the pocket, maybe throwing and most likely running. That's how he wins games. And he wins games. I don't think he's a good quarterback. He's just, like, a playmaker. That's just, like, his position. It's like trying to describe, like, I don't understand the concept of basketball positions. So it's like trying to explain, like, what a position in basketball is to me. It's like magic. It's calculus. It doesn't compute. Like, none of it works. Like, it's not the same thing. Like, you tell me Lamar's a quarterback? I'm like, all right. Is he? Is he, though? I think he'll be good. He's still going to be good. Hopefully, he just never gets RG3'd. We'll see. Well, and then Packers beat the Rams. The Packers looked good. That one, I said it was going to be an under, and it was going to be one of the most boring games of the week. I was actually kind of wrong. That one was pretty entertaining. It definitely did not hit the under. My under-over predictions were rather piss poor, to say the least. We'll do better. I promise you that. Packers beat the Rams. Aaron Rodgers just looks like a fucking god. I don't know what else to say. The dude's really good at football. Then, the History Channel Bowl. Saints were held back by Drew Brees. We're at that point, and I guess we're past it already as well, because Drew Brees retired after the game. So sad seeing him look back at the stadium one last time. Oh my god. That was gut-wrenching. And then to see the after footage, how he's like, I'm not leaving the field, and he just plays on the field with his kids. He's playing catch. His kids are playing catch with Tom Brady. Could you imagine being that kid? It's like, see you, Tom. Thanks for throwing me touchdown passes. It's like, what the? Oh my god. And it was, to be sad, it's the end of the huge era. And it is it's sad, man. Like, he's one of the GOATs. Only was able to do it one time. I mean, he's got 5 of the 9 5,000-yard passing seasons. That is nuts. No one else even has 1, 2. He's got 5 5,000-yard passing seasons. He's an instant Canton nod, and he's going to be missed, like, so much. But now it's Jameis's team. They're going to be still eating W's. We'll see. I mean, they paid Taysom Hill for some fucking reason. But, I mean, that's what Drew whispered in Jameis's ear. It's like, this is your team now. So, we'll see. We're going to see. We'll... Buccaneers beat the Saints. They'll play the Packers in Lambeau in the cold. I don't know, man. I don't know if Florida Tom is really used to playing in the cold. He's really never won in the cold. There's going to be some fucking moron that actually... There's going to be someone that actually is like, I don't know. He retired to Florida because he doesn't like the cold. He don't know if he can still win in it. It's like... Guy's got 20 years of experience of winning in freezing ass New England. He's... One season in Tampa isn't going to make him cold-blooded. He's not a lizard. Unless he's a lizard person, allegedly. No. He just kisses his kids on the mouth. That's where he gets his powers from. That's where Tom Brady gets them from. But now we got Buccaneers and Packers in the NFC Championship. And we've got the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. We'll start on the AFC side. It's going to be tough. Like, those are two unbelievably explosive offenses. As I'm sitting here right now recording this, Patrick Mahomes is still in concussion protocol. Therefore, I have to take the Bills. If Chad Henne has to start the AFC Championship game, which there's no way. There's absolutely no way. Like, I mean, I know Colin Cowherd, that absolute fucking idiot, called for the NFL to move the game until Mahomes was actually available to play. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, maybe if there's an outbreak or something like that, we'd have to. But no, this is an injury that could happen to anyone. I don't get it. Like, yeah, it sucks that it's Mahomes in the second biggest game of the year. Shit happens. Sucks. But you don't get special treatment just because you're Patrick Mahomes. That's bullshit. What a stupid fucking idea from Coward. You're not, like, that's just how it goes, though. Like, that's what you expect of that. But until I hear that Mahomes is cleared to play, I'm taking the Bills. And even if he is cleared to play, I think I'm still going to take the Bills. They have the exact same big play capability that the Chiefs do. The only thing is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes has, like, been there, done that. So he's got that experience. But if he's not playing, that don't count. Just doesn't. So I want... And there's no home field advantage for Arrowhead. So I got to take the Bills. I'm going to take them. We're going to have a full just gambling corner at the end. So don't you worry. We'll get there. I'm taking the Bills. I think that's just going to be an unbelievably high scoring. It's going to be great. Don't know what the weather's going to be. But I can't expect that game to be anything else but high-scoring, electric football. Moving over to the NFC. That one might be a little bit more of a defensive battle. You do have two of the all-time greats when it comes to quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I think... The Packers' defense and team is more complete overall than the Buccaneers. I mean, they won more games, obviously, the Packers. That's why they're the number one seed. They have that extra week of rest. So, I think that's going to be a huge factor, especially with Tom Brady being 43. I mean, he looks straight up ageless, but any extra time that guy can get to rest, I think he probably likes that. So I bet he would have loved to be the one overall seed. I'm thinking the Packers are gonna end up taking that one, and we're gonna have a Bills Packers. Now, I kind of want the Buccaneers to win it, to actually win this one, because how fucking hilarious would it be if the Bills were like, we find, like, did it. They exercised the demons. We won the AFC East. Tom Brady's not even in the division. He's gone. He can't hurt us anymore. He can't keep doing this to us. He's not in the same division. He can't make these shit Patriot teams look good and whoop our asses every year. He's in the AFC. He can't hurt us. And then they have to play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers on the other side of the fucking league. It'd be hilarious. It would be the perfect content. It would be the greatest, one of the better Super Bowls I could imagine. Tom Brady proving that no one can defeat him but Tom Brady and backup quarterbacks like Nick Foles and the Manning brothers. I mean, the Peyton one's a little debatable, but Eli took 2 Super Bowls away from Tom Brady. So the only people that, like, Tom Brady's inevitable for the Bills. That's where we're at. Run from it. Hide from it. Destiny arrives. Tom Brady is going to be the downfall of the Bills. That's what I'm hoping. Just for the content. But personally, I'm thinking, my brain, my heart says and wants Bills-Buccaneers. My brain says Bills-Packers. So, take that for what you will. It's football. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what happens. It's going to be a good Super Bowl. As long as... fingers crossed we never see another Patriots-Rams Super Bowl fiasco. This should be another electric week in a football. As for the rest of the NFL, Philip Rivers is done. He's calling it quits. Hated him when he was on the Chargers. Thought all of his trash talking, his no cussing thing, I thought it was a shtick. I thought he was kind of a hated him. Kept winning. He won't beat us too many times when I was a kid. And then Peyton came along and he fixed it. He righted it all. And then Phil left the Chargers. I was like, all right, yeah, cool, good for him. Like, we'll watch. I'll watch him on the Colts. I'll listen to the trash talk. I listen to him back. I'm like, I'm gonna miss that. There's gonna be no more daggums. No more, oh, sweet golly geez. And he's such an intelligent player. That's why he was able to be so good. I think it was earlier in the day, J.J. Watt said it, tweeted it, not said, but close enough. It's like, he never will forget when at one point Philip Rivers told one of the Texans defenders, hey man, for the blitz you guys are running, you're lined up wrong. And Phil was right. Like, that guy was a nerd. An absolute football nerd. And now Philip Rivers is retiring. It's the first time he's ever pulled out of anything in his goddamn life. And he's doing it with the NFL. He can field his own football team with his own kids. Not a team, just the offense, but close enough. That's all he really needs. He can go back home and he can have a full line. Couple receivers, couple tight ends, and a running back, and he can play quarterback at home every single Sunday like it never ever ended. So he's also gonna be missed, honestly. Like, as Drew Brees, he's a lock for the Hall, obviously. As for Phil, statistically it kind of looks like he should be in, but never winning like anything. Like, not even like ever even being close to considered for the MVP, like not winning, getting to a Super Bowl, not winning like the division that he was in very often. He's going to be hard. He's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer by any means. Like, but he might get in. He might. We'll see. I'm going with no. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Hall of Very Good. He's very good at what he did. He was well above average. This isn't a Hall of Very Good. It's a Hall of Fame. Like, it's just how it is. So then, The only other real big news for the NFL, there's a few other things here and there. The Donkeys have hired a new GM. They did it. They got rid of Elway. Well, actually, Elway just, you know, gave himself a promotion, which I didn't know you could do that. I wish I knew that. I'd done it a long time ago. So he gives himself a promotion up and out of the GM position into head of football operations and hires his replacement slash scapegoat. Essentially, the Broncos now have George Patton as GM. And I think it's going to be a phenomenal hire. I can't see this one really... I'm hopeful. I think it could go really fucking bad, let's be honest. I mean, anyway. Look at what happened with the Mets GM. That looked like a great hire, and it sure shit wasn't. We'll get on to that why. But I think the George Patton hire for the Donkeys is going to be really good. He had 12 Pro Bowl draft picks in 10 years. It's pretty damn good. It's more than one a draft. Math adds up. So that's good. That's more than Elway had in his time as the Broncos GM, and he has been, this guy's been highly, highly touted for years. So I think it's going to be a great hire. He had his first press conference for the Donkeys, and sounds good. We're evaluating the quarterback, which I don't think is going to be a really good, I don't know if that's going to be a good thing for Drew Lock. Vic Fangio says he's going to have Patton sit in a room with all the film aloft and watch it all by himself so that he can have an unbiased, unfiltered look at the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And I don't know. I don't have that viewpoint that he does. I don't have an unfiltered, unbiased look at Drew Lock. I think he kind of stinks. I think he could be really fucking good, but I don't think the Denver Broncos fans and myself have the patience to make that work. He could be a Drew Law, or he could be a Josh Allen. I just don't know if we're going to have the patience to do it and or to wait it out as fans. I think we're going to riot before that happens. It's just how it works. And especially when you have quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes getting drafted, waiting a year and being amazing immediately after that 1 year. It's hard to watch a quarterback get drafted and not do the same and then just try it again. So we'll see. We're going to have to figure out what this George Patton guy does. But the only other big, great things of that conference was he said, we're not going to let our young, talented players get away, which I think just straight up translates into, don't worry, Broncos fans, we're signing Justin Simmons. He will stay. He will be back. It's like, oh, thank God. It's like, thank you. It's like, just honestly send that out in a tweet, Mr. Patton, and we'll be best homies forever. You'll have your job for 6 years if you re-sign. If you sign Justin Simmons to a six-year contract, I guarantee you will be here for your entire 6 years as a GM, Mr. Patton. That is my advice to you. And another good thing from that one was he said he's going to be in every single deal that makes sense for the Denver Broncos. If it will make this team better, he's going to be a part of it. And I only hear two things. 2 + 2 = the number 4, Mr. Watson. We're getting into it. I don't see it happening. I have to be honest with myself. I don't see the Deshaun Watson trade coming to Denver. But hey, man, if he is at least trying to be a part of that process, once again, dude, you're a hero. At least you're trying. I can't see John Elway being that ballsy to hit a trade like that. He was ballsy for signing Peyton Manning, but I don't see him being that kind. Elway wasn't that kind of ballsy. This guy it seems like he's going to have some steel nuts around the Broncos. He's not actually going to take shit from Elway and he's not going to cave into what he wants to do. Fingers crossed, because I'm still very concerned that this guy is just going to act as Elway's scapegoat and proxy guy, and Elway's actually just going to be making all the decisions at the top. Still hella nervous about that. But if Patton is actually the one controlling the Denver Broncos personnel and roster, I think they're in for a very bright future, especially with all the weapons they got on the tail end. Like, it's going to be good. They're going to be good eventually. Going to be good eventually. It's just a rebuild time. Just get ready to be fucking sad next year again, okay? Just saying. Temper expectations. But at least this GM isn't the Mets GM. At least he's not him. At least we haven't had to fire him within like a couple weeks of him being in like Mets. So, if you haven't heard, he got fired for sending 62 unanswered texts in a row to a female reporter, and also sending her an unsolicited dick pic. Obviously, the dick pic is wrong. Like, you can't do that. But 62 unanswered text, man. Like, how do you ever come back from that? Like, that is, like, that's not pre-crime. That's crime. 62 texts in a row unanswered. Like, if that happens to like a girl I know, I'm telling her to call the cops. I'm like, yo, that guy's going to wear your skin as a suit soon. Like, you best be wary, girl. And then, like, it's obviously the dick pic. Like, you can't do that. That's a fireable offense. Way to go, Steve Cohen, just canning him instantaneously. Also, way to go for the Mets, man. They got a hell of an owner. It's like Uncle Stevie Cohen. He's so much fun on Twitter. I mean, eventually he's going to have to figure out, like, who tweets the bad stuff? Who tweets, like, hey, we had to fire a GM because he sent 62 unanswered texts to a female reporter and his dick. Like, he doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't. That's not his persona. He's going to have to hire some guy. I vote he hires, like, the angriest Mets fan that he can possibly find, and they get to deliver all the bad news to the Twitter world, and they're their press secretary, essentially. They're the Mets press secretary for everything bad, but Stevie Cohen gets to do all the good stuff. So whoever this guy is, he would be breaking this news that their GM had to get fired because he sent his dick to a female employee. But 62, I think 62 unanswered text is worse. A dick pic is so unsolicited dick pic, so bad. I have never heard of like a number of unanswered texts in a row that you can actually genuinely make an argument this might be worse. All the texts might actually be worse and creepier than an unsolicited dick pic. I've never thought that would happen in my lifetime. I never thought that someone would text someone 62 times in a row. Where did he think that was going? Where? How is that going to work? What did they teach you? Like, one, that is horrible negotiator skills. How that guy was able to pull off the Chris Yelich trade? Whoever the... baseball that well. But I'm not going to not... Like, how did that guy pull off the best trade in baseball in the offseason already for baseball? How did 62 unanswered text guy pull off the best trade in the MLB for the offseason? And also, man, if you're the Cleveland Indians, you gotta look back on that and be like, shit, we let that guy fleece us in a trade? Fuck, how do we come back from this? Like, there's a lot of L's taken in this one right now. I mean, obviously, the Mets GM is the biggest L taker because he lost his job. He's never going to make it back into sports. Hopefully he never makes it back into sports. Like, dude's creeping a scumbag. Like, you don't do that. Mets take a little bit of an L because they had to fire their GM after he just made an amazing trade and everything was looking right in Mets land. Everything was hunky-dory and glorious until that. And then the Cleveland Indians, they take their, I think they're still called that. I don't know if they changed it. I think they want to change it to the Spiders, which would be creepy. Don't do it. Change it, but just not to the Spiders. They also took an L because they let the creep dude who sends 62 unanswered texts fleece them in a trade. That would not happen to my Joe Sakic. You would never see Joe Sakic get fleeced in a trade. Might have lost the end goal trade a little bit here, but he's actually just going to replace him with Bowen Byram, so like, who cares? And just like that, we tie it right back into hockey. It always works. That's how it all is. The world is centered there. We're back up into the third period. It's 1-0 Edmonton still. We're going to keep watching so much hockey. But now we're going to move in to our final thing, the gambling corner for Frosty Talks. So, we got some great, great lines all brought to you by a sports book that does not sponsor me. So I'm really not going to give the name. But they're in Colorado. So, you know, take a pick. Whichever one you want to do. I don't care. But we got some solid ideas. We're looking at the lines. I'm thinking we got it. We're going to have a couple. We're going to start off in the NFL for these bets. Okay? We're going to get you the best ones for the conference championships. So, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Packers. I'm taking the Packers on that one. I'm a money line man. Let me tell you, it is risky. It's electric. It could not be more fun. Taking the Packers -175. The odds hurt. Yeah, but it's gonna. There's a reason they're the favorites, man. They're good. Taking the Packers money line on them. Honestly, I think looking at it. No, fuck it. I'm changing. Packers. They're going to cover the spread. 3.5. That's -105. Much better paid. As for over-under on that one, because I'm going to give you one for both. Duh. Of course. There's only two games. You've got to be at least two bets per game. We're taking the over. Taking the over in both. 51.5 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Packers. Hammer the over. Life's too short to bet the under. We love rooting for points here in this household. As for the Bills Chiefs, over 53.5 points. Under, I know I just said we like betting the over in this house. But if Patrick Mahomes is not playing, you take the under. If he is playing, you take the over of 53.5. It's that simple. It's a pretty good one. I'm taking the Bills money line. It's +125. Beautiful. Chef's kiss on that one. Have to do it. As for covers, I mean, shit, if you think the Bills are going to win, you might as well parlay that into a cover, too. Make it even better. I don't know what the odds does, but we'll see. As of now, I'm taking the Bills to win. Got the over in the Packers-Buccaneers. And the under if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, and the over if he does play in the AFC conference game. Their championship game. As for the NHL, there's a billion games. So, let's just pretend like I understand the concept of time and I know what day it is. Thursday, tomorrow, there's a lot of games. There's a lot of games. I'm standing by my initial tirade of the first episode of never bet on your own team. It's the easiest way to make yourself hurt. I'm taking the Canucks to win over the Canadiens. Money line, +105. I'm also going to be taking the... I'm also going to take the Tampa Bay Lightning to on the puck line. Plus 165 to beat the Columbus Blue Jackets by two. Done. Like, sign me up. That's easy. Easy money. As for the Canucks Canadians ones, I know I said earlier the Canucks have been like a train wreck, a little disappointment. They look like they make so many stupid mistakes. Canadians are feisty. They look good, but Bo Horvat, Elias Pettersson, and Quinn Hughes on the Canucks, and Jacob Markstrom over there, I think they're going to be able to put their pieces together. I have a good feeling. I have a very good feeling they're going to win that one. Now, if you want to get into other games, we don't really have anything on the... The lines don't go any farther past Thursday. So you're going to have to check out the FrostyTalks.com blog. I will have another blog for the Friday-Saturday games. We'll also be updating the blog regularly with just information that comes out in between pods, man. So give it a look, and while you're there, check out the store. That's how we keep running. And appreciate for listening. The other great way to support, download, rate, subscribe, especially on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review. It really helps us get recognized. And the more listeners and the more recognition that we get, the better that we can make the show for you guys. And thank you all for listening. That's all that matters. So we have fun. Follow on Twitter at Dylan Ryan, FT, DYLAN, RYAN, FT. And like us on Facebook if that's what you're into. And have a fucking awesome day. Let's go, Avs. Let's go, Donkeys. Thanks for tuning in to Frosty Talks.